Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Beginning in prayer. Almighty God, may we remember and honor all who have given the ultimate sacrifice, dying to make us free. May the tombstones that are nearly uncountable in Arlington Cemetery and the crosses on the cliffs of Normandy, along with the many memorials set in stone and fashioned in bronze, move us to tears of repentance. For we have let the gift of liberty and justice our forefathers entrusted to us to falter and to begin to fade away. As you stirred in the past and your hand moved mightily, we pray that you raise up a new generation who will cherish and perpetuate the gift of freedom, liberty, and justice as one nation under you, our God. Amen. I am the second son of a career officer in the Air Force. My life is known by the many moves and assignments that brought about those moves. Kirtland Air Force Base in Albuquerque, New Mexico. A short stint in St. Paul, Minnesota, as my dad did 1 year of seminary at Luther Northwestern Seminary. Then to Wright-Patterson in Dayton, Maxwell in Montgomery, Alabama, Andrews near Washington, D.C., and at that time we lived in Bowie, Maryland. Then to the Joint Forces Staff College in Norfolk, Virginia, for 6 months. Then back to Bowie to be stationed at the Pentagon. Then back down to Maxwell for 1 year in Alabama, and then back to Wright-Patt in Dayton, and then on to Hanscom in Bedford, Massachusetts, where my father retired after 27 years of active duty as an officer in the United States Air Force. For me, Bowie is where I grew up. And we lived there at one of the best times possible, this nation's bicentennial. I was in the sixth grade, and the bicentennial stuff was everywhere. I sang in the county chorus for Prince George's County, and our outfits were colonial in style. White shirt with that white ruffle thing on the collar, red vest, blue knickers, white stockings, and of course shoes with a big buckle on them. Had the privilege of singing downtown Washington, D.C. for the Christmas tree lighting when I was in that county chorus. Then, as I mentioned during the children's moment, we had a play written by a member of the school called Maryland 1776. And it's about the Annapolis Tea Party. And many people aren't familiar that there was a tea party in Annapolis. I played the part of Anthony Stewart, who was the owner of the cargo brigantine ship, the Peggy Stewart, that they found tea hidden away in, so they burned the ship. And I recall one song from Oh, That's So Long Ago, and the song was called Sons of Liberty, and it went like this. Beware, beware, we're the sons of liberty. We dare to doubt the sovereignty of English law we won't obey. The stamp tax we will never pay. Beware, beware, we're the sons of liberty. Sixth grade, 1976. That was a long time ago. 40 years ago about? But being just outside of Washington, D.C., we would often visit downtown. And perhaps it was there during the bicentennial I just grew to love American history. All the different places with the plaques and the monuments, all the great happenings memorialized that brought about liberty and freedom. The Lincoln Memorial, the Jefferson Memorial, the Washington Monument. I even had the chance to walk down the stairs in the Washington Monument. Back then, you could use the stairs. Did you know there's Bible verses and prayers there inside the Washington Monument? Look it up for yourself, particularly on the 12th landing and the 24th landing. 12th landing, there's a prayer. On the 24th landing, there are Bible verses. And on the cap, is aluminum tip with Laos Deo, which means praise be to God. Arlington Cemetery, with row after row of white headstones in the hundreds of thousands. The tomb of the unknown soldier. Words cannot express the atmosphere, the dignity, the solemnity at the changing of the guards. Memories fixed in a young boy's mind. A few years ago, I took my family to Washington, D.C., and the place had changed greatly. Several new memorials, the largest, and that's a picture I took while we were there that I have up on the screen, is the World War II Memorial. I was driven to silence there. Memorials are there to help us remember and recall sacrifices made by others so that we could have freedom. But that freedom is under siege by political correctness and the amoral movement aided by the mainstream press and the Justice Department all the way up to the White House itself. These are all signs that we have forgotten God and forgotten the blessings of following God's word. Do you think those men huddled in the landing craft approaching Normandy, knowing that as soon as the door dropped of the LST and they jumped into the surf, the likelihood of surviving was very, very small? But freeing a land from tyranny gave them purpose and a duty. They willingly gave of their lives. Do you think they sacrificed then so that the Department of Education could bully and threaten schools over bathroom access today? And you may not realize it's more than just bathrooms. It's locker room showers. It's overnight accommodations on band trips and other school trips. The sacrifice of your fathers and the sacrifice of your mothers was not for such foolishness and amorality and immorality. Can a 6 or 7 year old boy have the mental capacity and cognitive ability to decide, I am a girl? Would you let your first grader come home and say, I'm going to drive to the Lego store? You would stare at them and say, no, you're not. Enabling parent unwilling to state a biological fact and psychologist complicitly going along. Do you know the American Academy of Pediatrics has published on gender? And the shortest summary of their position is this. Gender ideology is child abuse, empirically and emphatically. And I encourage you to look up their position and read the facts and the statistics. It is a genetic fact. You are male or you are female. This fact is indisputable. There is not 58 genders of personal choice you can self-identify on Facebook. Even though the memorials stand, we are forgetting our past and forgetting God. And the result is rebellion against the Lord. In particular, Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3. In the beginning, God created all there is. And that in the image of God, God made man, male and female, he made them. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Vastly different than one judge in a black robe declaring, this truth of God's word no longer applies. We have forgotten God. And the many who died in the military service did not die for such foolishness. We need to be silent before their sacrifices. Their act of love for this nation and the sacrifices for the principle that this nation was founded on, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. It is written in the scriptures that Jesus commanded us to love. John chapter 15, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the scripture tells us about love. It tells us love is not self-seeking, does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Love protects. That kind of love the previous generation knew and lived out. Generations raised in school with daily prayer and the Ten Commandments knew how to love like Christ taught. Now, with daily prayer and the Ten Commandments removed for several generations, we do not see what we used to see in the previous generations. We see now is narcissism, vanity, self-absorption, my rights, and I don't care that they infringe on your rights. I will destroy your religious freedom rights, even though religious freedom is the foundational freedom of this nation. The ardently anti-Christian freedom from religion foundation threatened East Liverpool, Ohio High School to remove a 70-year tradition of singing the Lord's Prayer at graduation, and the school caved. But the students rose and prayed the Lord's Prayer. Political correctness mixed with narcissism. You have to agree with me or be silent or be labeled a hater is a very destructive combination. Speech codes and safe zones on college campuses shut down debate. And the perspective shut down and booted out off campus is the Christian faith and its moral truths. Isaiah 5, chapter 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Memorials, they stand, and while they stand, go to them and shed some tears over the sacrifices made to preserve and perpetuate this God-given nation, and see how much we have lost. Our reading from Scripture, Joshua chapter 4, just imagine if you were there. The word comes into the camp. From Joshua himself, from the Lord, God says, today is the day we cross over to the promised land. Imagine the emotion, the buzz going through camp. 40 years of wandering. A generation has passed away who refused to trust God the first time to enter the promised land. And now this new generation will go into that promised land promised to Abraham all those years ago. Pack up. Assemble the families. Assemble by tribes. Get in line. Follow the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And you come to that river's edge, and the river is flowing full, and it is swift. There is no bridge, and it's too deep to wade, but the Lord said to go. The river's at flood stage, but the Lord said to go. There's the ark on its poles, supported by the priests. And into that turbulent flow, the priests step, and the water stops flowing. With each new step, the more water stops flowing. The water begins to pile up. And the priests are walking on dry ground. It is a miracle. And into the middle, the priests carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And then they stop and they stand. In the middle. And the river is now completely stopped up. It is standing up. The river that was rushing in flood stage has stopped. It is split. It is piling up. And the ground is dry. And Israel begins to cross. The whole nation, numbering more than countability, in the millions by now. Joshua, listening to the word of the Lord, chose 12, one leader from each tribe. Go back to the middle where the priests are standing, where the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and pick up a large stone. A small boulder would be more accurate. Pick it up.
Go get the stone and take it upon your shoulder
and carry it out. Then that night when they camped, that first night in the promised land, the 12 stones were put together. The 12 that came from the middle of the river where the priests stood holding the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Those 12 stones that they struggled to carry as they walked. And coming behind them, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. The 12, burdened by the stone, step onto the bank of the river. And soon followed by the priests stepping up and out of the riverbed. And as soon as the priests left the riverbed and stood on the ground, shush! Thundering fills the air as the waters return, running as fast and furious as before at flood stage. That is something you would remember. But would the next generation and the generation after that remember? The 12 stones will be set up to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. 10 days later, they pack up and they travel to Gilgal. All of Israel camps at Gilgal. And there Joshua set up the 12 stones, saying to the Israelites, and this is Joshua chapter 4, beginning at verse 21. In the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Those 12 stones were stacked up to remember the crossing of the Jordan, the crossing of the Red Sea, but more than that, how powerful their delivering God truly is. Reverence and worship the Lord. So that you always reverence the Lord, worship the Lord, stand in awe of the Lord, and doing so will result in obeying the Lord, all that the Lord's command, living in that covenant relationship with the Lord. But unfortunately, after many years, Israel forgot, and followed the gods of Canaan and other gods, and they suffered greatly as a result. Will we learn the lesson? That when you forget the Lord your God as a nation, you will suffer greatly as a result. Take your children to the memorials. Take your children and your grandchildren to the memorials. Tell them the stories and remind them about the power of God to deliver. Instill in them a sacrificial heart. A heart that loves and will sacrifice to serve others. Gettysburg, 1863, Abraham Lincoln said that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. This nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. So you have the World War II, and then this is the focal point, the World War II Freedom Wall. On that Freedom Wall are 4,048 gold stars. Each gold star represents 100 American military deaths. That means more than 400,000 soldiers, sailors, Marines, airmen, military personnel lost their lives or still remain missing in action in World War II. Was their sacrifice remembered? Some of you know people who had the honor of going there by honor flight, and how moving it is. That's my daughter sitting there. And on the stone that's right next to her, you don't see the words. Here we mark the price of freedom. Amen.